Hey, welcome to, it's another episode of Geekly Reveal. How's it going? That's geeky, that's weekly, that's geekly. As always, it's me, your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And like we said, this is the second episode of the week, and this one's more about video games. So once again, I'd like to introduce my partners in crime. Would you like to tell the people who it is that you are?
We're back. It's me, it's Stephanie again. Captain Steph on Twitter, Snowpair on Tumblr, Hello Steph on Instagram. You know the drill.
And I'm still Eric, and I'm the video game boy. I'm the one who wins.
He wins this time.
I am the one who knocks on the pinball cabinet till it tilts. Yes, we're not sure if you listened to our other episode. Hopefully you did. Hopefully you love a plethora of episodes. But just in case you didn't, we're pushing the social media again. You find us on Twitter. That's Character Rev. Two R's in the middle. Find us on Instagram. That's Character Reveal. Email us at characterreveal@gmail.com. We'd love to hear questions. Please rate and review us on any podcast catcher of your choice. That's iTunes. That's Stitcher. Wherever Google's doing. And all the other places. And hey, find us on Patreon. Patreon.com/characterreveal. Support us. Throw a dollar away if you can. We'd greatly appreciate it. And if you want some coffee, check out our sponsor, Grinding Coffee Company. They're black owned. They're people of color owned. LGBT plus owned. It's great. It's fantastic. Great coffee. Great people. Follow our link in the description for and use offer code Character Reveal for a discount. Look at all that.
Yeah.
All that, like, roughly under a minute. Speed run. That's my shit. Let's go. Let's talk about video games. Where do we want to start? There's so much to do. Let's start with the real world implications. Let's go in reverse on the list. Y'all see the list?
Yeah.
Twitch pulled some bullshit. Surprising nobody. They were running some anti-union ads from Amazon. Which is something that can only happen, really, because Amazon owns Twitch.
I was going to say, Amazon owns Twitch, which makes it unsurprising. But Amazon is really concerned about this warehouse that's trying to unionize in Alabama. From what I can tell, they seem real pressed about it, because they are doing their damnedest to advertise on and, like, against it anywhere they can, and to, like...
Change the flow of traffic
in Bessemer, like, among other insane things.
Yeah. It's completely unsurprising that they would throw their ads on their own service, you know, to further try to drive their point home.
Yeah.
It's just kind of sucky to do that. Also, like, the ads that are running, the union busting ads, are the same drivel you always would see. Like, I don't want to have to pay dues because XYZ and... it's kind of unfortunate. There are a lot of people who have so thoroughly been brainwashed into thinking unions will hurt you that they're like, but I'm losing money on my dues, which in a vacuum, you could probably make that argument till you realize, oh, but we'd have better lives and probably more money if we were in a union. So
yeah,
union
dues
won't matter.
Well, like, I mean, every company makes a point of, like, brainwashing you with, like, anti-union stuff. Like, hell, when I worked at a casino, you know, the dealers, which I was a part of, wanted to unionize, and I initially was not for it because of all of the fucking, like, brainwashing tactics I'd had when working at, like, retail and other jobs before. Like, shit works.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're serious about it, and hey, if you are pro-union, as you should be, and you want to make it easier for people to unionize and for people to avoid having to go through shit like this in the future, you should call your reps and tell them to support the PRO Act, which the House is supposed to take up again next week. It will revolutionize organizing in the United States and has a chance to actually, you know, become law now that, not that Democrats are doing anything, but, like, it would be nice to see them do this, at least. So,
yeah.
Sleepy Joe won't even fucking say a word against Amazon to support the people unionizing, but...
The Democrats are the opposite of the Republicans in that they were elected to read, not to lead.
Yeah.
So...
Hopefully... Yeah. It just makes me sad. But hey, video games are political, baby! Because...
Yeah, media is political.
Yeah, it's impossible not to be.
And hell, even if we didn't want to bring it up, we're not the one who decided to put anti-union ads onto Twitch. So, you know, there's
that. Yeah, if you didn't want us to talk about it, you shouldn't have put it on the shit that we're engaging with.
Yeah.
But luckily, due to blowback and stuff, these ads have been pulled, but they have done some harm already. That's the point, so... I think Twitch, like, the sub company was like, nah, get this out of here. Like, you might own us, but, like, we do have enough of a say to be like, stop it. This looks bad. Which is something, I guess.
Yeah. Now, if they would only stop, like, mid-roll ads in general. Like, if you are watching a stream, you know, it's fine. It's unobtrusive to have an ad at the beginning. But stopping in the middle of the stream to have an ad is bullshit.
Yeah.
And we hate it.
Yeah, there has to be a better way. Like,
there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, companies are bad, but I get that your whole thing is trying to make money. So there should be a way for you to, like, make money without destroying your product on the way. You should be smart enough to figure this out.
Yeah, for real.
But yeah, so that's the weird news. I guess we'll stay on bad stuff for a little bit. That why not, right? Yeah, and then we'll move into people complaining. we'll pull you back in. We'll find a way. But
no, it's okay. I'll chime in. I'm listening.
Anthem Next has been canceled. Yeah, is that what it was called, or is well, Anthem is the next thing to be canceled?
So it was officially titled within like EA/BioWare as Anthem Next. As in, like, it was going to be the patch was called Anthem Next. Gotcha. And it was encompassing their plans for what to do with Anthem. You know, this game that came out about 2 years ago that just kind of completely and totally flopped. For those who are not aware, Anthem was a third-person shooter that was a looter shooter, or schluter.
A schluter?
Yeah, a schluter that was kind of being billed as like similar to Destiny, but its biggest draw was this flight mechanic where basically you were inside these suits called Javelins that basically made you Iron Man, but four different flavors of Iron Man. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, you could be the fast and stealthy Iron Man, you could be the big and bulky Iron Man, you could be the magic Iron Man, and then just the Iron Man. And it looked really pretty. It was fun to fly around. The combat was okay, but it was being built up by EA as this, like, you know, big, like, huge game experience. And it was being developed by BioWare, who is known for games like Mass Effect and Dragon Age and, like, Knights of the Old Republic. Like, they have a decent slate.
Famous games with lots of gay people.
Yes, and with lots of, like, just kind of, like, power behind them. Like, there's a lot of clout with those games, but BioWare has kind of just been pitching a no-hitter for
they've had some rough time recently.
Yeah, like they're pretty fucked.
that's the situation, not funny, just the way you said it was. That
well, yeah, and it's messed up because, like, you know, people still put a lot of faith in BioWare because of their backlog and, like, their library or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, like, their last two releases were Anthem and Mass Effect Andromeda, both of which were universally panned.
Yeah.
And so, like, EA had basically said, okay, we're not going to just drop Anthem. We're going to try to, like, pull back and fix it. And after 2 years of development and, like, basically very few updates for the game in its current state, EA has decided to pull the plug on the Anthem Next project and just completely, like, shut down development for it. They're not shutting down the game servers, so you can go and play Anthem if you want to.
Well, that's
for
nice.
Now. But they're no longer going to be putting out any future updates. That means that BioWare's current only project at this point is the next Dragon Age game, so Dragon Age 4. And some more stuff actually came out about that around the Anthem announcement, in that Dragon Age 4 was originally slated to be a games as a service, like, online experience, like multiplayer, like, growing world game.
I am utterly shocked.
And so basically because of how Anthem did, EA was like, no, just make it a single player game. And now they're, like, redoing the whole thing. So yeah.
That's too bad. What's that mean for BioWare as a studio? Like, are they going to keep getting to exist? Like, I don't want a bunch of people to lose their job.
Right. So, like, a lot of people say that kind of, like, BioWare as it used to exist, like, old BioWare, has been gone for a long time because, like, a lot of the lead writers, lead developers have left. But there are still people working there, and these people still deserve to work. I mean, if nobody should have to look, we're not going to get into the economic, like, you know, capitalism and forced labor and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, like, they shouldn't lose their jobs because EA mismanages them.
Right.
But you also do have to make a good product if you want to continue to exist as a company.
Yeah, like, I do see the roughness of that, and I wonder how much of that is, like, you'd be able to make a good product if you were a good company. Like, if maybe EA wasn't running them and crunching them, maybe they could make good games.
Right, or, like, and, you know, who knows, like, who up at the top made the calls about, like, what Anthem needed to be.
Yeah.
You know, or and same thing with, like, Mass Effect, Andromeda.
Speaking of workers who need a union.
Yes, game developers. Yeah.
Also, to rescind my previous statement, I literally just looked at Twitter and Biden has finally tweeted about the Amazon union.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, so don't at me.
It only took all week, yay. I find it interesting. Like, it is rough to... It's one of those things of, if we fix the root issue, we wouldn't have to worry about this issue. Like, if your existence and living wasn't tied to, like, your work, then it could be like, yeah, if you don't put out a good product, you're not going to work here no more. It's like, well, how will I eat and have insurance? It's like, oh, that's, yeah, that has nothing to do with your job. Then it would be like, yeah, you have to do good work to stay. But unfortunately, things are tied up in a weird way. So I don't want anyone to go hungry just because they made a bad game.
Right. Well, and
unless it's like billionaire or like the CEOs go hungry because a bad game got shipped, I don't care about that so much. That's fine. They can take a time out for crunching people.
I think this does bring up an interesting, like, kind of thought, though, of, like, you know, BioWare is seen as this, like, heritage studio, like this studio that is known for creating this type of game experience. And, you know, if they're not doing that anymore, like, you know, can game studios retire? You know, is it proper, or is it possible for, like, a name, a game studio to, like, be like, hey, we're tapped out, you know, we're good. Like,
like, especially because, like, with games too, like, you not only have to keep developing to stay profitable and everything, but you also have to keep changing, like, learning a new, like, programming for a new, like,
system,
console every so often. Like,
yeah.
And, like, the atmosphere around video games changes, like, what people want out of a game, you know, like, what the expectations around it change. Right. So it's, like, it's this ever-evolving kind of ecosystem. And, you know, maybe at a point it's okay for us to look at a game studio and be like, hey, they made a lot of good games, and then they stopped making games, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think people would be fine with that if it wasn't like, oh, EA bought them and shuttered them.
Right.
Like, if tomorrow, I hope it doesn't happen for the sake of I like their products, but if Supergiant tomorrow said, you know what, we've decided as a company, we're done making Supergiant games, like, we're just gonna go our separate ways, find different companies, like, we all want to do stuff, but we don't have a united vision anymore, so whenever this project we're working on is done, that'll be the last thing. It's like, oh, that would be really sad, and that would suck, but, like, that's ultimately for the better. Like, I don't want them forcing themselves to make some game just to do it, like, go work somewhere that makes you happy. But I don't want Supergiant to get bought by, like, EA, and they have to make, like, Hades 2 Revengeance or something, and it's garbage, so they stop paying them. Like, they never wanted to do that. Like, that's why it was bad. Like, I don't want that to happen. But the idea of a company retiring is, companies aren't people, but the idea of, like, a dev studio stopping being a dev studio
without, I mean,
fucking over people, that'd be fine. That's cool.
It's similar to, like, a band breaking up, you know, like Daft Punk.
Like Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's a callback to a whole other episode from the same day.
But, you know, it's, I think that we haven't seen a whole lot of that within, like, the video game atmosphere, and I may be wrong. Like, I couldn't really think of any examples immediately.
No, because bad stuff always stops them.
Yeah, or it's always that, you know, like, they get rolled into another studio or something, so their properties get bought, and, like, they continue to exist. But, like, I think it's okay for a series to end, or for, like, you know, a company to be like, hey, we made all these great games, we're glad you enjoy them, but, like, we're not, like, we're good. Like, you know, we're gonna go our separate ways, like, it's clearly not working anymore.
Yeah. We've seen Sakurai try to leave Smash Bros. A couple of times.
That's true.
But he keeps making a better game every time.
Yeah.
And
That's on him, man.
There does seem to be a little bit of Nintendo be like, hey, we need you to do X, Y, Z if you're going to do this. But he's like, well, I'm going to stay at the studio late. They're like, you don't have to. He's like, oh, I'm not keeping my staff here. They're going to stay hired. Bro, literally go home. I don't want to. What are you running from, Sakurai? The master hand keeps me up at night.
But if
you would have stopped after Smash 4, we'd all been like, that sucks, but we get it. Like, retire, bro. Like,
yeah.
He's like, no, I want to keep making games. Okay, but like, take a nap.
It's one of those things where, like, I think video games as kind of like a media sphere haven't existed long enough to kind of have like a rotation out of, this sort of like extreme mainstream developers, you know, cause like, yeah, you could say like, you know, like Intellivision and Atari and all that stuff kind of like phased out and like, they're no longer in the main like zeitgeist,
but like from falling apart. That's not breaking up the band. That's
right.
The band got too old to like drum anymore. That doesn't count.
And that's also like from an era where like games were not as mainstream. You know, we haven't really seen anything from like a perspective of like these huge like multi-million selling like games or development companies that we haven't seen them just stop.
Well,
it seems like the equivalent kind of like a show just ending rather than being canceled, almost, like,
right,
is like the closest thing I can think of in like a non game space.
Yeah, and that
I think
makes
that's what's
sense.
Happening. Like, we're not seeing a lot of series finales. We're just seeing cancelizations and non-renewals.
You know,
which is far less satisfying.
Yeah, it's more satisfying for them to be able to kind of wrap up on their own terms, and like I think that it's like also partially the responsibility of the people who like gamers, you know, not capital G gamers or whatever, but like it's partially on
consumers.
Yeah. It's partially on consumers to be like, hey, like maybe step back and like, we don't have to put all this prestige on these like individual studios. And like, I'm guilty of it too. Like I sit here and praise Square Enix, but like, and would be vastly upset if just tomorrow they were like, hey, no more Square Enix games. Sorry. Like, we decided we're done.
We have found the door to darkness. I think it's different than, like, movies and stuff, though, because for better or for worse, and I'm really saying that because I don't know, it feels like movie studios will last forever, but it's the directors that we, like, idolize and put stuff on. So, like, a person can just retire and be done, and that's the end of it. But, like, for instance, how long has, like, Disney or Nintendo been around, like, Nintendo's not going to stop being a company, even if they change their, like, they're the kind of thing, their direction will change, but they're not going to just stop being a company, I don't think. Whereas, like, oh, like, say Joss Whedon decides to stop being terrible, like, he could stop making movies or take a different direction, like, or Tarantino
like
could,
Chris,
like,
Evans saying, like, I'm not going to play Captain America anymore, but there's still Marvel movies happening. Like,
yeah, there's still Marvel movies happening. Chris Evans is still doing movies, but he's not Captain America anymore. He's gonna wear chunky knit sweaters and like get mad at immigrants. Like, okay, that's bold new direction there, Chris. Nah, he played that role very well. It's not his fault Ransom sucks. Spoiler alert for a 2-year-old movie. But I feel like that's different though. Like, we put them as like companies. So yeah, BioWare, like, I don't know anybody that works at BioWare. But, like, think about how Metal Gear Solid ended. It was, I can't remember his name. I can't remember.
Solid Snake?
Yeah, no, the guy who made Solid Snake.
Hideo Kojima.
Yeah, Kojima. I couldn't remember Kojima's name.
I was like,
name.
I didn't know who you were trying to think of.
No, I don't think about ass that much, you guys. Solid Snake's ass clapping didn't distract me. But no, Kojima, like...
You? Well, that is the biggest lie you've ever told on this podcast or anywhere.
False. Look, it didn't happen this time. But no, Kojima got screwed out of like making Metal Gear Solid games. We saw what happened when he made more. It's like, you know, I wish he could have just been allowed to either get his series finale or keep making them if he wanted to.
Yeah,
but
you
we
also
got like
saw...
Metal Gear Solid Revengeance and Pachinko. Like,
yeah, well, so Revengeance was actually okay, and I will stand by
actually,
that.
Actually, no, that was before that. That was the one with Raiden.
It's
just
the,
my favorite.
The one that
something.
Well, the one game that got made after he left was Metal Gear Survive.
And it was trash, right?
It was absolute trash.
Yeah, so let the man retire.
Yeah, and, well, he didn't want to retire. He wanted to go make his weird Death Stranding game, carry your fetus in your tube his in weird, front of like, you. Like
carry your fetus with Reedus.
Yeah.
I'm going to say his weird In Love with Norman Reedus game.
Yeah, and Guillermo del Toro and Conan O'Brien's in that game, too. Like,
is Mads Mikkelsen also?
Yeah, he's the...
He's Stranding.
Spoilers, man. He's your dad.
Aw, man, I can't fuck him then.
Not as the game, not as the player character.
Not in the game.
No.
Yeah.
But, like, if you could mod it so you could play as the NPCs, then it wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
What a haunting man. Oh.
That, yeah, not to get into it, but that game is just weird and, like,
another
case where, like, hey, you know, maybe it is okay to let people retire.
but the thing, though, is... He didn't no one made him make that game. That was like, that was clearly something he just wanted to do. And
yeah,
you know
that was like his magnum opus. Like, he was like, I have this story inside of me and I must tell it.
And you know, we were all like, why yeah. do you need
He literally did it for the art. And I can respect that. You know, that was not a profit driven game, I don't think. It made a lot of money because people like him, but he didn't make that game to make money. And I can respect people making art for that reason. And I wish there was more of that, and if our studios could break up and their reunions and all kinds of good practices, we'd see more art. And some of it would be Death Stranding, and I wouldn't get it. But I'd rather another Death Stranding. Well, I'd rather a Death Stranding than like the 50th Call of Duty where you bomb brown people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I was gonna make a joke about like Cyberpunk. I forget why, but we didn't talk about that before, so we should talk about that.
Yeah.
There's more delays on the fixes. Say like, hey, can we finally have Cyberpunk? Actually, yes. Actually, give it back has happened. And they got hacked or something?
Yeah. So it was a couple weeks ago. We missed talking about it when it was like up-to-date current news. But they had a...
Yeah, let's just like, be quick about it then.
Yeah. It was a large cyber attack that basically... Like, employee data was what was mostly compromised. Employee data as well as like... old versions of games and things still in development, and they were threatened with like, if you don't give in to our demands, we're gonna make this stuff public, we're gonna release it to our contacts in gaming journalism.
Games journalism.
Yeah, which like that kind of like the whole like ransom note that they got was just like this horrible like leet speak, like did a fucking 13-year-old write this, but like no, because they wouldn't know what any of these words meant because it's outdated slang.
Damn,
so
maybe Persona
was...
5 was a mistake. No,
so it was,
it's the gamers that are bad.
it was a weird thing, but basically because of that whole hack happening, they've had to like revoke access for all of their employees while they try to figure out their security situation. So nobody's being able to work on like development stuff.
That's...
Which means their patch to fix the game and deliver promised content is being delayed from, like, whatever it was supposed to be, like, this month or next month to, like, an undetermined time.
It's kind of funny that it's getting delayed again, but, like, not for this reason. Like, this is, like, a very, like, serious, real reason to delay stuff because, like, their employee safety is far more important than anything real around this game.
Yeah, and it's just more like, man, they can't win.
Yeah, there's really an oof.
Yeah.
They're actually trying to do the right thing, and like, they can't.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, who's to say, like, maybe the patch wouldn't have fixed everything, and maybe it would still under-deliver on what they promised, and, you know,
I'm sure.
we could have that conversation at that time. It sucks that this is how it happened, though.
Right. Yeah, No Man's Sky took, what, like, 6 months to become, like, a good game?
God, longer than that.
Yeah, like a year to become like a really like, but an oddly good game where people are like, wait, this game's actually awesome. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, yeah. Anyway, cool. And let's just talk about the stuff that's not actually as deep to get into. Eric,
it's not that deep.
I don't have a joke. Eric and I have played Persona 5 Strikers over this past week. Eric, this past week, me over the last 24 hours. 48 hours.
And we're oddly still at like the same place, so good job to both of us.
That's all I've done. My partner's like, I'm ready to watch this game. I watched her play the original game and she watched me play this one.
Yeah, it's real good.
It's super good. It's really fun. It's harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah, like, the boss fights in particular can be like like the mini boss fights even can just like they fuck you up.
Yeah, like I was having a harder problem with the mini bosses than the bosses.
Yeah.
And it comes down to like status effects, like the brainwash status effect, like had a weird tornado interaction where I'm like, wait, so I'm stuck? Like wait, why am I just dying? Like I get that I'm supposed to attack my teammates, but why am I also dying? Like
there's
just two attacks, okay.
There's a lot of like difficulty level stuff, but like otherwise it's a really cool fusion of a straight up Persona game and a Dynasty Warriors game.
Yeah. I like, quite enjoy it. The challenge feels fun. It doesn't feel super unfair. It feels a little bit like I just gotta figure out these mechanics and do weird switching stuff with Joker.
Yes. And but it's also your nice. Party will actually matter, like the party that you take, which kind of sucks because it's like they give you access to all the characters right off the bat, which is great.
Yeah.
But it kind of sucks because it's like, oh, hey, here's this new character who's an AI and it's like real cool and I want to play as her because I want to know what that character is. But she is going to absolutely suck at the beginning of the game because nothing is weak to her element.
Yes.
So it's like, fuck you for trying to play as the new character.
Yeah. There's a few things that are at least not resistant to it because I kept being Joker and everything knocks him on his ass. Like, oh, wait, like, everything's strong against curse. Like, this sucks.
Yeah.
No, she's pretty cool. I actually saw her in the Dragalia Lost crossover. Mm-hmm. So, like, I kind of knew kind of what she was and what the plot of this game was, like, how it worked. But I didn't understand it because, obviously, Persona 5 Strikers wasn't out in America yet.
Yeah.
But, no, it's fun. My favorite thing about it is that when Joker gets knocked out or, like, killed in battle, the game doesn't end.
Yes, the Phantom Thieves
actually can operate without Joker. They're like, oh, Joker lost his health, so he retreated. See if someone can revive him or just like finish the battle. Like, oh, yeah, cool. That's really nice.
We can do that now.
Because in all the Persona games, if your main character dies, the game it's just a game over. Like, even if the whole rest of the team's alive. Like,
we just assume that the rest of the people just like stop breathing because they don't know how to do it without you telling them to.
Yeah.
My like, God.
Which apparently is in the story of Persona 5. Mild spoilers. Like, there's like if you get a game over, I think like. And there's events in the game, but like if Joker gets arrested or dies, the Phantom Thieves like we can't do anything anymore. Like yes, you can. You all can go to the metaverse. You don't like it would suck without your homie, but like you don't physically need him. Like you need the cat more than you need Joker.
It's like, true. But the cat becomes a bus. Joker doesn't.
I can't ride inside of Joker. What is this?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can actually. But no, it's really
fun.
You were
just making like some really out of character statements this episode, Dom, and I'm just like, are you feeling all right?
What do you mean?
First you say you don't talk about ass that much, now you're saying that you can't ride in Joker?
In the game.
Okay.
I mean, I think Ryuji can. So, okay, we talked about queer baiting in the last half episode, so, like, this game is clearly, like, I don't know if they're queer baiting or if they're like, well, we can't make them gay, so we're going to do as much as we can. Like, there's so many times where Ryuji's like, just like, yo, you're my best friend, homie. I'm so glad you're back in town. And like, I'm at the second jail now. And he's like, every now and then you could talk to your teammates, which would be like around. And like, oh, hey, like, I found this. You might want it. Like, oh, hey, it's like
the sword.
Like some food. Like, hey, I found this katana keychain. It splits into two. You can have the other half. Here, you take the sword. I'll take the hilt. So I'm like, is Ryuji a confirmed bottom then? Like, is that? Yeah.
I just did that.
Like, I was like, wait, hold on. Like, I was like, this is super gay. Like, which is cool. But why can't I date Ryuji? Like.
I don't think, can you date anybody in this game?
Not like, in this
I think,
one, no.
I was going to say, I think they took away the dating sim part of Persona, which is a really good part of Persona.
I mean, yeah, Persona Vanilla, but like, we're on the road, like, we don't have time for that. Like, also, we get really awkward if you're like, just dating one of the Phantom Thieves, like, in the camper.
Yeah, you're in like a camper and you're like, hold on, nobody come into this camper for like 30 minutes, please.
If the camper's rocking, don't come knocking.
Yeah, so it's like, I miss being able to do that, but there's like a bond system and some other stuff to do. It's definitely like a watered down Persona experience because it's a Dynasty Warriors game, but
and there's still stuff there. It is, you know, like they wouldn't want to make you have to choose again of which person is best girl. It's obviously Makoto.
I don't know, man. If we're going by the last game, yes.
Yeah.
But we're in this game now, and Haru has on two occasions been like, fuck the police.
Yes.
With a smile on her face,
and it's fucking amazing. So it's she straight up says, we hate the police, to a police officer while smiling.
An icon.
Like, twice. Like, on two separate occasions. Yeah. So, like, yeah, you do have to work with the cop, which sucks, but no one's happy about it. And he's like, no, I get it. Like, yeah.
He's not just a cop. He's, like, the secret police, essentially.
Yeah, he's, like, PubSec, which is like, wait, you're above the police.
Yeah.
Which I think he makes a point of saying, no, I'm above the police. Like, I'm not fucking some detective. Like, but he seems to be on your side more than the rest of the cops, so it's
he seems like he's gonna be evil eventually.
I'm not sure. I'm up in the air. I feel like I saw some spoilers that made me think some things about him, but none of them say that he's not evil. I mean, Akechi was evil, so like anything could happen.
Yeah,
but that guy, he was obviously evil from the get go. Like, oh yeah, he used all the tropes. Like, yeah, he's left handed. Like, okay, cool. Like, he has all these things about him that are the opposite of Joker. Like, I'm not the one who said left handed people are evil. That's fucking bullshit tropes. Like, I don't think left handed people are evil. I just think they're wrong. No, I'm kidding. Like, that's stupid.
Wow.
But yeah,
I wish I could use my left hand, actually. Though. Like, that would be cool to be ambidextrous. Those are the real heroes. Like, left-handed, right-handed, we're all rookies. It's the people like, I got two hands. I'm using both. That's what I like.
Moral of the story is game's good, though. Yeah.
Yeah, game's good. Get it if you get a chance.
Yeah. What are you playing it on?
PS4.
Yeah, me too.
Because I was not going to deal with those Switch load times.
Yeah.
I watched some comparisons, and it looks bad. Now, if all you had was a Switch, I don't think it'd be prohibitively bad. But if you had the option between the PS4 and the Switch and the computer, I had faith in the PS4 working good enough. And if I had it on Steam, I'd be tempted to stream it and try to monetize playing it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nah, I'll just play it in the living room and enjoy it with my partner and just have a good time.
I know there's been questions on the internet of, like, do you need to play Persona 5 in order to play this? And my response to that would be no, but you're going to be confused about some things.
Yeah, if you can't access Persona 5 and you don't feel like having to watch a whole playthrough, just reading the Wikipedia will give you the gist of it, and you'll get it as much as you need to play it.
They are kind of, like, relaxed enough on the references in the game where they explain them as they reference them.
Yeah, they're saying stuff that I'm like, why are we explaining this? Like, in the way that, like, I know why, it's because people may not have played Persona 5.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like, yo, dude,
this was 6 months ago. Like, you, of course you remember this exact thing happening.
Yeah, it's cute enough, though. And the new character, Sophie, is really cool.
Yeah, she's humanity's companion.
Yeah. And when An asks to, like, floof her jacket, she's like, I'm neither a child nor a pet, so no, you can't.
She's just like, no, fuck you.
We respect consent in this world. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. But yeah, I recommend it. Give it a shot. Yeah. And what else?
Another quick game recommendation. I've been playing Bravely Default 2 on the Switch.
Is that out or is it a demo?
It is out, so it came out on Friday. Yeah, it came out on Friday. And it is the best version of a classic Final Fantasy game that I have played in a very long time. It has the, like, classic job system. Your characters change their clothes to fit the job. So, like, a white mage looks like a white mage. And, like, they just straight up use all the Final Fantasy job names, ability names, everything. Like, they are not trying to hide, like, hey, this series is what, like, this style of Final Fantasy game just is now. Which makes sense, because it was, Bravely Default was originally developed to be that.
It's Square Enix, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I would actually like the idea of, now, is Bravely Default 2 a sequel to Bravely Default, or are they doing the Final Fantasy thing, where they're not related?
So, Bravely Second was the sequel to Bravely Default. This is technically Bravely Default 3.
So we are doing the Square Enix thing.
Yeah.
More on that later.
But it's, you know, I don't, like, it hasn't really referenced anything from the first game, and I didn't ever get a chance to play Bravely Second because it was released towards the end of the 3DS's life cycle, and I just didn't buy it. So, you know, shame on me, I guess. But this game is
support capitalism.
but yes, this series, like, in this game, Bravely Default 2 is very, very good. The art in it is fantastic. It's like very like watercolory, like in the backgrounds and stuff. Ooh. And like just looks very pretty for like what is just a Switch game, you know, at the end of the day.
Nice.
So cool. Yeah, I do recommend
like
it.
If they did the thing of like Final Fantasy VII is going to be their more like out there, wacky, like action oriented, you know, Final Fantasy VII remake and 15 type stuff.
Yeah.
And Bravely Default's like, no, we're just going to do like our turn based.
Classic
stuff.
Like turn based. Yeah. And I think that has kind of been their plan.
Yeah. Why not do that? There's two different audiences that they might be the same audience sometimes, but yeah. You know.
And then, you know, they also have their MMO. Like they kind of have all of their bases covered. You know, it's yeah. they're, it looks like, you know, the modern Final Fantasies are going to be the more action oriented, like, you know, what you said, 7 and 15 style. And because, like, you think even what they've showed of 16 looks more like the action-y stuff, like basically like the Final Fantasy 7 remake combat.
Yeah, I feel like people will be less upset about it not being turn-based if they can still buy turn-based games.
Yeah, or and
play
they,
turn-based
and,
games rather.
And especially when they're good.
Yeah, you know, like, well, you know, like Octopath Traveler.
Yeah, I mean,
Octopath Traveler Tactics.
Yeah, Octopath Traveler was pretty good. It was just, like, the story that was lacking. And, like, I don't really have much to say about the Bravely Default 2 story at the moment. Like, it's essentially Final Fantasy where it's like, there are four crystals. We need to go get them. Like, they've been stolen. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, yeah, cool. This is the plot from Final Fantasy 1, 3, and 5. Great. Like, cool. So, but yeah, I, you know, if that's your bag, like, yeah, definitely pick it up.
Cool. And yeah, so we have a couple of options. It's, we can talk about RPGs some more. Yeah, let's talk about Square Enix some more.
Yeah.
So PlayStation had their State of Play, which it feels like a lot of people found out the day of that it was happening.
Yeah, I certainly did.
Yeah, I found out because it was like, we were watching, like, we had TV up, like, YouTube. It's like, oh, the State of Play is today? Like, okay, it's... These don't get as much fanfare as, like, third-party Nintendo Directs do, so that's kind of weird, but I think it's just different fan bases and advertising, but...
Yeah, I think, like, Sony doesn't do a great job of surfacing when their events are happening as well, so...
Also, it did, honestly, to me, felt like a bootleg Nintendo Direct, like, without...
Yeah.
Like, the charm in those is really cheesy, but, like, it feels like, hey, we know we're kind of corny, but it is what it is, but this felt like... We're corny, but corporate. I'm like, ugh,
yeah,
gross. I don't like
that's
this.
How those State of Plays have felt for a long time, especially over the past year as they've been like fully virtual.
Like they're all commercials, but Nintendo tries to act like they're our friends, which that's not great, but it makes me feel better about being obsessed with capitalism. But yeah. Sony's like, this is a corporate presentation. Like,
and this one pretend. Specifically, this one specifically felt more like a corporate presentation to like reassure people that games are coming out for the PS5.
Which,
like,
is necessary in their defense.
Yes, but it was definitely like they were just showing things that pretty much we already knew about, except for like maybe one or two things.
Like Sifu, I think we didn't know about.
Yeah, and like I guess we didn't know that the Abe's Odyssey was going to be a free PlayStation Plus game or whatever.
Ooh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, and I guess the other big thing that we didn't immediately know about was the Final Fantasy VII. Intergrade?
Yeah. So let me know if I got this right. Final Fantasy VII, the root of this, it's coming to PS5.
Yep.
And if you can get a free upgrade to that if you have the PS4 version or something.
Correct, if you currently own it. There is a caveat to that because they are giving away Final Fantasy VII Remake as a PS Plus game. But if you get that version, you will have to pay for the upgrade.
That's fair. It's annoying, but I get that.
Yeah.
But whatever. Okay, cool. But along with that, and they showed some side-by-side comparisons of how it looks on the PS4 and how it looks on the PS5. And half of the screenshots, I couldn't tell the difference, or videos. But on the other half, I couldn't tell which one was supposed to be the better one. I'm like,
I
okay.
thought that the PS4 looked better in some
on
of them.
On average, it looks yeah. a lot, because the lighting wasn't as goofy.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would I upgrade this? It looks better on the PS4.
It was because they put, like, more bloom on a lot of it. Like, they just did more lighting rather than, like, I don't know, fixing textures.
They did flex the load times at one point on something.
Yes, that was very cool.
That was, I'm like, that's a flex. That's, like, yeah. Assuming this is real, that's a hell of a flex, and I'll give them that. But also, there's a new game, or DLC, I can't tell, around Yuffie.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw people chatting about it.
And I'm like, what is this? But it looks like it's going to cost $60. Or was that just to buy Final Fantasy VII Remake with that as well?
Correct. That was to buy the whole thing for PS5.
Okay. So apparently you can't even get the Yuffie stuff if you don't have a PS5.
That was my understanding at the time. I've seen things come out since then that say that you should be able to buy the Yuffie, like, DLC story for PS4, but I am unsure.
They did not do a good job of explaining that at all.
No, and, like, it is possible that it is PS5 only. Yuffie is a character that I actually like a whole lot from Final Fantasy VII. So, like, I kind of want to play that. Though... So this kind of came along with another announcement that Square Enix then did separately, like after the State of Play. The trailer that they showed for this, like, intergrade DLC.
Yeah, a Square Enix-ass name.
Like. Yeah. It's fucking stupid. The trailer had, like, some flashes to, like, villains and, like, stuff like that. And the villain is from the Final Fantasy side game called Dirge of Cerberus, which only ever came out on PS2 and was about the character Vincent fighting.
I've heard of that.
He was fighting.
Vincent is the vampire looking dude with the red cape.
Yes.
He's in Kingdom Hearts, right?
Yes.
He's not in Hercules Hades world, which is also a weird place to put a character like that.
Yep. So Dirge of Cerberus was kind of a point where it was like, you're just getting fucking weird with this story. Like, this is some dumb shit.
Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, it was like some Kingdom Hearts style bullshit. Because it's like, the plot of Dirge of Cerberus is Vincent is fighting a group of super soldiers called the Sviets, who are the elite
Sviets?
Yeah, the Sviets. The T-S-V-I-E-T-S. Like, fighting this group. And they are the elite soldiers of a organization called Deep Ground, which is a group of soldiers who lived underneath Midgar. Like, it's like...
I feel like you do.
Yeah, it's just like this absolute nonsense. It's and like their
Civil War.
Their main leader is, I don't remember his name, but he is like essentially a fusion of Sephiroth and Hojo. And Hojo is Sephiroth's dad.
So you can't fuck Matt Mickelson, but you can't fuse with your dad, so, you know.
Dude, it's I mean, like, the plot of Final Fantasy VII is a lot about, like, genetic experimentation stuff, so, like, sure. Whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that they showed, like, a flash of that villain, I was like, wait a fucking second. Like, is this what we're doing?
Yeah, because they're doing a bunch of side stuff, too, like.
Yes, so.
Like, they, some gacha game or mobile game or something? No, they're doing, like, a Final Fantasy remake, Final Fantasy VII remake demake.
Yes,
on mobile
so,
or Switch or something.
Basically what this was is this trailer showed, like, oh, hey, there's going to be this stuff from Dirge of Cerberus in here. Also, you get to play as Yuffie. That's cool. But then they were like, Square Enix later was like, oh, hey, we're making, in the style that we did, the Final Fantasy 15 mobile version, which was like a demake of Final Fantasy 15. We're doing that with Final Fantasy 7 Remake. But what we're doing is we're rolling in all of the Final Fantasy 7, like, extended universe into one game. So it'll include, like, Final Fantasy VII, Crisis Core, Advent Children, Dirge of Cerberus, and then one other game that I had literally never fucking heard of, and I can't remember the name of it.
The section
from Kingdom Hearts. So it must be really, really...
Yeah.
Fucking...
I think it was a flip phone only game.
Oh my god.
That starred the Turks, which was, like, the secret police. In Final
That's
Fantasy VII.
Reyno and Rude, right?
Yes, yeah, good job. Wow, why do you know that?
Because people fucking are, like, horny for them on Twitter.
Okay, yeah. And you've probably seen them at cons, too. That makes
sense.
Yeah. I like that. Like, oh, yes, I forgot about them.
Yeah.
The Final Fantasy VII homestucks.
Yeah.
They're just horny for the Turks.
But yeah, so, like, that actually, I'm actually interested to play that just because it's like, oh, so you're going to finally make, like, the story of Final Fantasy VII one coherent thing. Cool. Let's
no one
see
said
how you
the
do
word
that.
Coherent, Eric. No
that's
one
why
said.
I said. Yeah. That's why I said. Like, you tried to make it one coherent thing. Cool. I want to see how that goes for you.
Yeah. Let's see how that plays out.
So that yeah,
sounds, it was a lot. As far as the stuff in the rest of the PlayStation announcement, I didn't really retain that much. I found out apparently Crash 4 is also coming to PS5, and there's like some weird shenanigans of like how you have to get that, but the load times will be fixed and whatnot. So that's cool.
Oh, sorry. I had one more thing from Square Enix.
Oh, really? There's more?
Yes.
But and wait.
It's another Final Fantasy VII related thing, and it's called Final Fantasy VII: The First Soldier. And have you heard of this game called Fortnite?
Yes.
So what if we made a Fortnite, but it was Final Fantasy VII?
No, I wanted to talk about
this. Is it a battle royale?
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot about this. I'm glad you brought this up. I'm glad you hit us with the one more thing.
Yeah.
Because, a battle royale with Final Fantasy characters.
Except you're not playing as the Final Fantasy characters. You're playing as your Final Fantasy man or woman. Like, so your generic character or whatever.
Your OC.
Yeah, you get to make your Final Fantasy VII OC.
They stole because... from Sonic Forces because they're the only people that have ever made, let you make a character before.
But, so the idea is that...
I guess,
like, you're... fighting other people who are trying to become the first soldier or like to whatever, which is like a soldier is what Cloud and Sephiroth were.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, part of me is like, this looks dumb as hell. Cause like in the trailer, it's like, I don't know what's going on. Oh wait, there's a dude riding on a chocobo holding a machine gun, shooting somebody. Okay.
Like, hell yeah.
The only thing, my major complaint about this though, is it's a mobile only game.
That's all like, right. That's so everyone could play it. Not everybody got a PS5. We gotta get the kids in some way, baby.
I guess. I just wish
you don't have a phone, Eric.
I do, but it's. I would prefer to play a third-person shooter on like I don't know a PC or a console of some sort.
Actually, but, anything but a phone.
Sounds like complainer shit to me.
Sounds like you're not a real gamer.
It's true, but it looks like it. Yeah, it looks like it plays like a Fortnite or a PUBG, and like you go around, you get abilities and guns, and like. Get abilities like you can just summon fucking Ifrit and be like, eat shit, my opponents. Like,
someone needs to go back and remake Battle Royale. Hopefully somebody like from the country it's from. But someone should remake that movie, but with like all the bullshit from the current genre of Battle Royale games.
Yeah.
But tell the exact just, like, same story.
One of the kids like kills one of the other kids and then they just like start flossing.
Yeah.
They start flossing. Then they build like a little house of wood around themselves so they don't get shot at.
Yeah, let's stay on the topic.
You know, like the kids do.
Like the kids do, you know, they just be shooting each other. Let's stay on the topic of Fortnite for a second before we get back to PlayStation. Ryu is there now, and also Chun-Li, and apparently Chun-Li got the cakes, which a lot of people are noticing.
They also put in...
Did she not have them before?
Presumably, yes, but we've just never seen her just, like, have leggings before. She normally has, like, the little, is it Qipao that she has?
I think so, yeah.
Kind of like that. I think she did in the movie. But yeah, something that like kind of covers like her front and back area. But you can make the assumption.
They also put in the alien. And
from Alien, right?
Yeah, and the whatever the woman is who fights Ripley. Alien. Yeah, Ripley. Yeah. I wanted to say Ridley, but I'm like, that's somebody else.
No, Ridley's based on Ripley. That's
yes.
Ripley is the Sigourney Weaver. Ridley is the alien from Smash Brothers, right?
Yes.
Yes. Well, yeah. Ridley's also Metroid. the director of Alien, Ridley Scott. So
yes, yeah.
I don't know if Ridley's called that as a joke on Ripley or of Ridley, and I'm sure Ripley is called that because of Ridley, but I don't actually know. It's a whole thing. Now the alien can floss as well.
Yep.
But yeah, PlayStation, I didn't really see anything I cared about. We just kept seeing stuff on Deathloop. It looks cool.
Yeah.
Sifu looks cool. Yeah. Pokemon. Let's finish with Pokemon.
Hell yeah, Pokemon.
I watched this trailer a little bit late. I wasn't up to watch it originally or the video. And it started with like a 5.5 minute just like nostalgia bomb, which it did hit me. I'll admit that. I'm a sucker for nostalgia. And
yeah.
These products had an impact on my childhood.
To clarify, it was for the 25th anniversary of Pokemon this year.
Yeah. This was this all
announced. Oh, were they re-releasing Skyward Sword?
Well, that was for Zelda for the 30th, but
I'm being
you know,
a shithead.
Yeah, they're going to release Skyward Sword on the Pokemon's 30th anniversary. Too,
yeah.
That's the thing. They're gonna.
Being a shithead, Eric.
I know.
I just want them to be like,
I was
hey
being
guys.
A shithead back.
I just want them to be like, hey guys, it's Pokemon's 30th anniversary. You know, that means we're like, okay, well, we got the Diamond and Pearl remakes last time. Are we going to get X and Y this time? Like, no. Y'all fuckers didn't buy Skyward Sword, so we're releasing it again.
You still didn't buy Skyward Sword, so here's Skyward Sword again. Fuck you.
You can't get any Pokemon till you play this game, and we're like, guess Pokemon's canceled, because I'm not playing that fucking game. But no, it's for the 25th anniversary. Pokemon being released in Japan. So they showed this great video of like all the stuff that Pokemon's been doing, which is actually a ton of stuff. Lots of anime, manga, trading cards, video games, but like apparel, fashion, parks, mascots, jets, go. Like they just did all the stuff they've done. Like, this is actually really cool. This
Pokemon has been fucking a huge cultural touch point for like 25 years now. Like it's incredible.
I have to say it's the second biggest cultural thing after Disney, maybe? Like, is that fair to say?
I think you can make the argument that, like, aside from, like, Mickey Mouse, like, I think a Pikachu is, like, one of the most widely recognized mascots.
I would say after Mickey Mouse, it would have to be Pikachu. Yeah. If not, like, Minnie or something.
Yeah, like, if we're talking about, like, you know, like, oh, well, Disney gets their Mickey Mouse, so, like, what's the next thing for a different company? Like, I think it would be a Pikachu.
I think it would have to be Pikachu. Like, Mario might be after that, but I think Pikachu is just, like, a globally known thing.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to think about.
Yeah.
Because they certainly don't act like a billion-dollar company half the time. Just, you know, humble little indie billion-dollar company.
And, like, you know, people were hoping that there'd be some sort of, like, you know, anniversary package with, like, you know, some of the older games in it, and I was certainly one of those people. I would love to play Red and Blue again, but on Switch this time.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You know, guess not.
But no one has their hopes up for Game Freak. But they made, I want to say three major announcements in one. So they went over all the stuff that's being added to their mobile games. So like Go's getting updates, Masters is getting updates, Cafe Mix is getting updates. That's all very good. I'm glad they're still supporting those things. They gave us a release date for New Snap.
I think we already had a release date for New Snap. I think they just gave like a final like details trailer.
Gotcha. Yeah, and it looks like it'll be Pokemon Snap. It's the game that we all asked. Yeah, like I don't know what else it could be. Hopefully there's like enough content to justify it. But it does look nice enough. It looks
still gonna buy it. It comes out around my birthday, so
yeah, it's gonna sell. That's not an issue. And then they announced the remakes for Diamond and Pearl, which everyone has been asking for. And then people complained about it because you are Chibi in the overworld, which has always been the case, really, if you think about it.
Older games, like you were always like that Chibi style. Like this is just the first time they've done a remaster where they kept that, which I think is cool. Like I think great, do that.
Like I think it looks goofy, but this is also a game where you like are going to capture a mouse and then you're going to capture God. So maybe it'll be a this isn't the weirdest thing in this game.
Yeah, but then specifically they are making a game about capturing God.
Yeah. That actually looked exciting.
Special Arceus game?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember what exactly it was called. Pokemon like Legends Arceus. Yeah.
Yeah, they said Arceus, and I was like, I guess it could be that. I always said Arceus, but I don't know how to pronounce any of these names.
That looks cool as hell, though.
It does. That game looked real dope. Like, so first off, it's in the past.
Was that the one that was? I was gonna say that was the one people were talking about, like the aesthetic of like past Pokemon.
Yeah, which is like a really cool idea that has not been explored that much.
Yeah, they had acoustic Pokeballs, so they were made out of wood. Which apparently they did that in Silver. Like you made them out of berries and wood and stuff. But
you still do the apricorns or whatever they're called. You can still do that.
But so they had you saw the little kids sneaking around in grass and just pops up and throws a Pokeball at a Pokemon and catches it. I'm like, that looks cool. If I'm being honest, the frame rate did look pretty doo-doo, and I don't know why they thought that was okay to show us. I'm sure it'll play fine, but I'm like, bro, I don't know if this was fully baked. Maybe this needs some more time in the oven, but ooh-wee. Yeah. But that said, it did look fun, though. Like, the fighting looked pretty interesting. It still looked turn-based fighting, but it's like, hey, maybe they're trying to evolve the formula ever so slightly.
Yeah, like, it looks like it could be neat, and, you know, that's slated for early next year, and the Diamond and Pearl is for fall of this year.
Yeah.
So
I really like Diamond and Pearl, but I don't see myself playing too many like standard Pokemon games anymore, just because I don't super love the turn-based combat, and Pokemon has not really, no pun intended, actually, I admit to my puns, it hasn't really evolved that much over the time.
caught his attention. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's funny. That'd have been good, too. But no, the formula hasn't changed or evolved too much. It's kind of the same thing you've been doing the whole time. I'm like, just I get
different
it.
Different places and different Pokemon kind of thing.
Yeah.
I am a sucker, and I play every single Pokemon
game. I'm not here to slander anybody. I'm glad people like them. I just have never really been a turn-based kind of guy. Like, I played Golden Sun in the first couple Pokemon games. Like, this is good. I need a little bit more movement, or no movement at all, and it needs to just be, like, a story, so...
I'm one of those people who I will get excited about every turn-based, like, Final Fantasy style game, Pokemon. Like, I am happy to continue to play those. You know, it hits me right in my nostalgia buttons. So nice. It's good.
I'm happy when people get their buttons pressed. Oh, the other thing I liked about Pokemon Legends, you get there's three stars to choose from, and they're not like from the same generation. I thought that's
pretty nifty. That was really neat. Yeah, it's Cyndaquil, Rowlet, and
Oshawott.
Yeah,
I'm happy about Rowlet because I didn't play the game Rowlet was in, but I like the archer that he turns into.
Yeah, it all kind of makes sense. I can't really figure out Cyndaquil, but Cyndaquil was one of my favorite fire starters other than Fennekin. Because a fox.
Yeah.
And Oshawott makes sense because he becomes a samurai. And if this is supposed to be like feudal Japan or whatever, like that makes sense.
And then Rowlet turns into an archer.
But like Cyndaquil just turns into like a big thing. Yeah. Like a big like fire bear.
So maybe there's something to it. Maybe he'll get like a regional variant.
Yeah, like a different look or something.
But.
I hope so, because otherwise, like, the other two being, like, very flavorful for, like, the time period, and then being, like, and then there's this, like, big fire dog thing.
Yelling big fire thingy.
Well, I guess they needed one that wasn't a fire fighting type. And, Charizard also is, like, well, we don't need two to evolve into flying, so I guess it's Cyndaquil by process of elimination.
I mean,
not going to be the soccer bunny, because that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they could have put, like, Torchic in, but they've done that recently already.
I guess Fennekin could have worked.
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, I don't know, like, were there fucking magicians in feudal Japan?
I don't know, I thought there were magicians everywhere in the past.
That's fair.
Which generation is Fennekin from?
That was X and Y.
Is that where Oshawott's from, or Rowlet?
No, Rowlet is from X and Y, I think, right? Or no, Sun and Moon?
Okay. Yeah.
I only know them by regions. Because of Pokemon Go.
That's fair. That's a better way to do it. Because once you start thinking of gen numbers, it gets weird.
Yeah.
I just know Kanto, Johto, Hoenn, Sinnoh. And I'm like, then it's Alola when you get to Sun and Moon. That's all. And then it's Britain in the new one. The region of Britain. that's all I got. But, yeah, the Pokemon... I mean, obviously Pokemon fans were the ones who didn't like the Pokemon the most.
Of course.
But I liked it. It seemed charming enough. It seems like, hey, you're getting the games that you asked for. And I don't know what else to ask for. Just be happy your favorite franchise is getting games that look like they are at least as good as the last game that came out.
Yep.
Any other video game news?
I think that's it.
There was some game, some demo that came out, like Outrider or something, also from Square Enix.
Yeah.
I didn't play it. Did you look into that at all?
I didn't, only because I know that it's not my style of game. It's a third-person looter shooter.
A sluter,
if you will. Yeah, that comes out this next month or the month after, I think.
Yeah, so. I just saw some streamers playing it. I'm like, oh, that looks okay, but not
Yeah,
like
it looks game. It looks fine, but it's not something that I'm, like, dying to play. So.
Right. Well, hey, that's it. That's the game news.
Yeah, a lot of it.
I don't know if there's anything else. Just lots of stuff coming out. This is a busy couple months.
Yeah. Look, video games are going to continue to happen for fucking ever. So
please free us from this hell.
Yeah. Look, the one thing about being somebody who's...
Please stop making video games.
Yeah. One thing about being like into video games is like looking at it and being like, I want to play all of these, but I will never have the time to do it. Like, just not gonna fucking happen.
Yeah, I don't have time to play all the games I want to. Even if they were all free.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they stopped making content today, no one would want for content for a long time if we actually tried.
The way that I've always looked at, like, my, like, video game collection, which you guys have seen, like, it's sizable.
It's not small.
Yeah, I've got, like, a lot of fucking games, and the way I've always looked at it is, if ever the day comes where I just am told, like, you can never buy another video game, I'll be like, that's fine, because I've got enough.
Yeah, like... I can make this work. But yeah. So for inclusion's sake, Steph, have you been playing any games or seen any game news you cared about this week?
I haven't seen any game news I cared about this week. I was saying off air, I have like finally reached a point in Hades where I feel like I can take, not like can take a break, but like I have completed enough of the questy type things that I don't like, that I feel like I've completed something. Like I've got all of the, every boon you can get from all six weapons. Like I got all, like once, because once you clear 20 packs of punishment, you can't get any more. Or like not boons, but like, you know, like the Titan blood and shit.
Okay.
Once you clear 20 with all of the, with the various weapons, you can't get any more. So I did cleared that with all six weapons, and I was like, okay, now I'm taking a break from this game. I am going to play something else, and something else in this case is just replaying Spyro Ripto's Rage again, because it is my favorite game.
Hell yeah.
Nice. That's what, like, over 200 hours put into Hades? I think you get your money's worth out of that game.
Yeah, here, real quick. Not that I'm holding my Switch. Played for 445 hours or more, Hades.
How much have you played Animal Crossing?
1,100 hours or more?
Oof, okay. So I think there's probably a little bit of, like, leaving the Switch on counts for that, too, or, like, having it paused and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, some of the Animal Crossing is, like, me just having it sitting at my desk for most of summer last year.
Yeah.
Like, while I was working from home. So, not that I'm not still working from home, but...
Right. Hey. Well, that's cool. That's what I like about a lot of games, is that there's some games that can give you a really good experience for 10 hours or something. And there's games like, hey, we're going to give you a really, really good experience for 20 hours, and then you can keep playing if you want to for like 400 some hours. And that's a cool thing. Games are the only medium that can really do this quite this way. Books can give you a lot of mileage too, but it'd have to be rereading. I think video games can give you like a replay in a way that's not exactly the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
It makes them unique that way. Not better. Some would say that's, some would count that as a con rather than a pro. But it's definitely a difference. It's nice. So.
If I am able to play Project D.Va on the Switch for 25 hours, I would say that video games give you a lot of mileage.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Well, that's it. We did two episodes this week. We'll see you guys next year. No. Do we want to pop the social media biz?
Oh.
We did at the beginning.
Yeah. We did it at the beginning.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We did do it for the podcast. But, yeah, if you want to give them the personal stuff, that'd be pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, so if you want to find us on the internet, you can find us in a variety of places. You can find me at Captain Steph on Twitter, at The Snow Queer on Tumblr, and at Hella Steph on Instagram. You can find Dom anywhere he wants to be found on the internet, at Brother Dom. You can find Eric at Tindy Lucy on Twitter, where he will be retweeting Niku content.
It's true.
and
VTubers.
You know, and VTubers. So, you know, just like the various idol kind of culture situation, if you wanna. And, yeah, so, you got all the podcasts up at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. That's, you know, it. That's it.
Did it.
That's it. Find us.
Video games are over.
Video games are over. We've decided to stop them.
If only we could be so lucky. No, I love video games. I jest. But yes, listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this. I guess this is a special episode. I don't know. It's two in a row.
It was special to me.
Thanks for joining us on this special to Eric episode of Geek Review. We'll be back. If you're hearing this and you missed our previous one, they came out in quick succession, so we did release two. It'll be episode 141 and 142 this week, as well as a character reveal. Please check those out on the sites we mentioned at the top. But yeah, until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.
And stop.
Oofa doofa.